Does Rashi always comment on something that doesn't make sense in the Torah? Well, ostensibly that's what he does. If in the Pshat and the simple understanding there is a question, Rashi will address it. That means that if Rashi does not address it, we immediately have to ask ourselves the question, why not? Duvar kame pa'amim ki dakish Rashi bepirush al ha'Torah hila forish kol davar akosh ebultimuvim bepshutei shel mikra. We've already discussed, the Rebbe says multiple times, that any time that there is something in the verse, in the pasuk, that does not make sense in the pshat, the simple understanding, Rashi will always comment. V'ha'inyonim adoshim bira pipashas akshuv aksuvim ve'ein Rashi meforsham. If there is something that appears at face value not to make sense, yet Rashi does not address it, הרי זה גוף היחוכו של הדייטר של רשי מבוני מהם בפשטוס ועד כדי כך שאין צריך לפרשם. If something that we pick up in the verse appears not to make sense on the simple level, and yet Rashi does not address it, that means that Rashi believes it's self-explanatory. אוי שמבוני מהם על פי מה שכבר פירש רשי לפני זה. Alternatively, Rashi doesn't need to explain it here because he's already given a commentary earlier in the Torah that will help to elucidate this particular issue. So that's the rule. If Rashi does not comment, it's either self-explanatory or it is something that we can deduce from other teachings of Rashi that predate this particular issue. With that in mind, al pi zeh, tzorich lahavin tmi agdoila amisareres belimit pshutam shel ksuvim beparashos seinu. With that in mind, there's a really big question regarding a certain part of this week's Torah portion. Asher kama mimeforash ha'Torah mishtadim le'tarzo, v'dafka Rashi, roi shapashtonim loy omad oleho. In fact, it's such a glaring question that most of the commentators grapple with this question, except for Rashi. Strangely, Rashi says nothing. What's the question? V'parash ha'seinu mesapim moishu baruch ha'alchetam raglav alakzeru shenigzer al-idei zeh al-dor ha'midbar. This parasha Devarim is where Moshe recounts things that had happened through the course of Jewish history, the 40 years in the desert. And we're going to focus in on when he tells the story of the failure of the spies that went to check out the land of Israel, they came back. They said, it's not going to happen. We won't be able to conquer the land. Everybody bought into it. They became depressed. And as a result, they were barred from entering the land. So Rashi says, Im yireh ish ba'anashim ha'ila hador haro hazeh eisar atzatoi v'goymer. So he says that Hashem promised that there's no chance that any of those people who were considered a bad generation because of their lack of faith, there's no chance that any of them will see the land. They're not going to enter the land. Umamshich, and then Moshe continues, Zu lo si kolev ben yifuneh hu yireh no goymer yan Hashem milei achrei Hashem. But then he says there's an exception. The exception is Kalev. He was one of the 12 spies, and he did follow Hashem, so he will see the land. Then here's the part that raises a red flag. Umafsik v'oimer. Then Moshe temporarily pauses the story of the spies, and he says something apparently unrelated. Gambi isanaf Hashem biglalchem lemor gam ato lo yisov oisham. He says Hashem also became angry at me because of you. He's talking to the community, he's talking to the Jewish nation. He says, Hashem also became angry at me because of you, and Hashem told me, I will also not enter the land. After that brief interlude, he goes back to talking about the spies. And he says, Yehoshua bin Nun, even from Echo, who Yavoshama, Vagomer. He says, firstly, that Yehoshua, who was the other one of the 12 spies who got it right, he will come into the land. In fact, he would lead the conquest and the inheritance of the land of Canaan. And then he goes back right to the story of the spies and says, V'tapchem ashamartim levazi yegoymer heima yavo yushama v'goymer. He says, and those children who you were so worried about, what's going to happen to our children, they're going to die and they're going to be, don't worry, those are the children who would go into Israel. So our question is, this is very strange. You start to talk about a topic, the spies, then you briefly change the topic and talk about Moshe not going into the land, and then Moshe, you go back to the story of the spies. Why? Seems incredibly strange. Lama mafsik be'emtza sipur maista amaraglim b'mashir le'moshe rabbeinu gam bi isanaf Hashem b'glalchel le'mor gam ato lo yisov oisham. Why does Moshe interrupt the story of the spies to suddenly interject with his own personal experience?
I was also banned from going into the land. Ki'ilu shegam agzera Moshe shelo yavoy la'aretz b'sibas chet ha'meraglim, which almost makes it sound like the reason Moshe was not allowed into the land of Israel had something to do with the spies. Varichet Moshe Rabbeinu b'shvil shebishvilo nigzar shelo yikonos la'aretz Yisrael mefurish b'kra shu chet mei meriva. Now, Moshe's being blocked from going into the land has nothing to do with the spies. The Torah says very clearly why Moshe could not go into the land. It's because of the rock. When he was supposed to speak to the rock to produce water after Miriam had passed away, and instead he struck the rock, and then Hashem said he's not going into the land. Ukum Moshe Nema, like the verse says clearly, the pasuk says clearly. Because you showed a lack of faith in me, Hashem says, therefore you, Moshe, you will not lead the Jewish people into the promised land. So what has this to do with the story of the spies? It's an unrelated incident. Why does Moshe interject this story of his own being barred from Israel because of the story of the rock into the middle of the story of the spies? It's totally out of place, at least on the face of it. Especially when you consider the chronology, the gap between the story of the spies and the story of Moshe hitting the rock is almost 40 years gap. Because my samraglim hoye korv litzeis mnei somretz mitzrayim uveglolam nigzar yom lashana yom lashana agboim shana. The spies were sent very shortly after the Jews left Egypt, and it's because of the spies that they landed up 40 years in the desert. Whereas the story of Moshe hitting the rock and therefore being banned from Israel, that only happens almost at the end of 40 years after his sister Miriam passes away. So it's not only contextually two different stories, chronologically it's two completely different periods of time. Why would Moshe suddenly pause in the middle of the story of the spies from the beginning of the history of the time in the desert and insert an issue that relates to the end of the time in the desert when he was told he would not go into Israel? So what we'll do is we'll look at various of the commentators and see how they try to tackle this particular question. And first, the first we'll look at is the Ramban, Nachmanides, and the Rebbe will ask questions on his approach. And then we'll look at a different approach, which is adopted by a number of different commentaries. And the Rebbe will say that that's very nice, but it doesn't fit with the style and approach of Rashi. According to the Ramban, the reason why here, in the middle of talking about the spies, suddenly Moshe mentions the story of hitting the rock and therefore being excluded from Israel, the Ramban says there's a simple logical reason for it. Moshe wants to put into one discussion all of the stories of individuals who were barred from going into Israel, because on each occasion it was a punishment for something that they had done wrong. So the spies and the rest of the nation were not allowed into Israel because of the sin of the spies. Moshe was not allowed into Israel because of a different sin, but it's still the same theme. Somebody who was not allowed into Israel because of something that they had done, which was wrong. That's the Ramban's explanation. The Rebbe says there are three reasons why this explanation, although it has a logical basis, does not actually resonate with Pshat, with the simple understanding of the Psukim. Number one. It's difficult to explain that this fits the pshat because number one, aleph, haksuvim lefonov lachrov hem binyan amraglim. Uma atam lachnis be'emtza dafka sipur achet demei meriva. If the Ramban is correct and Moshe wanted to lump together two different stories, both about people who were not allowed into Israel, that still does not explain why he would have put the story of hitting the rock in the middle of the story of the spies. It could have just as well have been, in fact, it would have been more rational to say, here's one story, the story of the spies, let's tell you that whole story, and therefore those people could not go into Israel. Here's a different story, the story of me hitting the rock, and this is why I could not go into Israel. This does not explain the reason why Moshe would insert it in the middle of the story of the spies. Number two, very important point. The generation that was not allowed into Israel, the generation that was so-called punished for the sin of the spies, was no longer alive at the time that Moshe hit the rock. Because Moshe hit the rock in the 40th year. Kimeferesh bepirish Rashi. In fact, Rashi himself already said this at the beginning of that section of the Torah, just before the hitting of the rock. Right at the beginning, it says, all of the people came to Midbar Tzin, to this particular location. What does it mean, all of the people, says Rashi? Shekvar mesum esei midbar ve'ele pirish lechayim. It means that all of the people who were going to enter Israel, because those who had already been punished not to enter Israel had already died. So by the time this story happens of Moshe hitting the rock, there is no remnant of the group that was punished because of the spies. Valpizeh eine muven omroi. If that's the case, then the whole thing doesn't make sense. Why does Moshe say, Vatoimru nishluch anoshim v'goimer, you said, let us send spies. And then he says, B'yei son of Hashem, b'glalchem, Hashem got angry with me because of you. V'tapchem Hashem maratim goimer, and your children. Shemashmu osei sheheim heim osei hador, shalehem adabra b'chol haksuvim o'ele, which makes it sound like it's the same generation who was addressed at the time of the spies. And they're clearly not. Those people are no longer here. Ramban does not address that question. Number three. If it's true, what the Ramban wants us to understand, that Moshe was speaking about different scenarios of people who were blocked from going into Israel as a punishment, then the line which says, I was also punished, should be right next to the line that says, you were punished. But that's not how it goes. The way that the Torah tells the story is Moshe first speaks about the punishment, then he speaks about Kalev, who would not be punished and would be allowed into the land, and then he talks about the fact that I'm punished not to go into the land. So if the Ramban is correct, and it's all the cases of people who are not allowed in, then it makes no sense that Moshe should speak about himself right next to speaking about Kalev, who is allowed in. So we're not going to be satisfied with the Ramban's explanation that it tackles the pshat, the simple understanding of the pasuk. Let's look at some of the other commentaries. Yesh Meforshim, there are a number of commentaries, like most notably the Abarbanel. Also, you'll see this in the Or HaChaim and others, that say, Shegam bi hisanaf Hashem biglalchem, when he says Hashem was angry with me because of you, they argue that in fact what's happening over here is Moshe wants to make it clear that the real reason he was not allowed into the land was fallout from the story of the spies. Biglalchem, because of you, meaning the nation collectively and what you did all the way back then when you believed the spies rather than to believe God, because of you, I also could not go into the land. How so? Of course, Moshe was not a party to the sin of the spies. He was obviously not one of the spies, and he clearly didn't accept their bad news story. So why would Moshe in any way be associated with the spies? So the answer to that, according to these commentaries, would be, yes, of course Moshe himself didn't sin, but he created the opportunity for everybody else to sin, because the Torah says very clearly there, Shlach Lecha, that Hashem says, it's not my idea to send spies, it's on you. Moshe, in tirtze shlach, if you want to send the spies, go ahead. So Moshe created the opportunity for the failure of the spies, and therefore he does carry some of the guilt according to these commentaries. That's what Moshe is saying over here. He's saying, I didn't do anything to deserve to be excluded from the land of Israel. It all started with you. It started when you sinned with the spies, which is on me because I initiated that process. Already then I was going to be excluded from the land. Because as a result of the spies, Hashem said very clearly that the entire generation will not enter the land. Well, Moshe says, I'm part of that generation. So whatever happened as a result of the spies affects me too. Parenthetically, the Rebbe says, but you'll say, what are you talking about? How can you say possibly that Moshe is not going to go into the land because of the story of the spies? The Torah is very clear about the fact that Moshe would not go into the land because of the story of hitting the rock. יש לו אמר דרק בצירוף שניהם יוחד נגזר לבו אינש, והדרך מה שהם מצינו בחית נודו ואוויר, שכמה טיימים נאמרו במיסוסום, ודווקא בצירוף כולם יוחד ננשו בפועל באינש מיסה. So the answer to that would be sometimes it does happen that one misstep, one misbehavior, one sin, so-called, on its own is not enough reason for a person to be punished. But if you put more than one together, it becomes collectively enough reason for the person to suffer the punishment. A good example of that is Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, who we know died prematurely after they did something wrong. Coming into the Mishkan, into the sanctuary. What did they do wrong? Well, there's various opinions, and Rashi lists them. They were disrespectful to Moshe by rendering halachic rulings in front of him. They came in having been drunk. They refused to marry. So put it all together, and you have enough reason why they deserve to die. Perhaps one sin on its own would not have carried that kind of an extreme punishment. And by extension, here with Moshe, you could say the same kind of thing, that hitting the rock is not such a major event on its own to block him from going into Israel. But considering that there's history, that he was the one who initiated the spy program, and as a result of that program, everybody else was not able to go into the land, put that together with the story of hitting the rock, and you've got the reason Moshe could not go into the land. And that's what Moshe's alluding to over here. It all began with you. It all began with your poor analysis of what the spies came back with. ומשום זה נאמר גם ביסנף השם בגללכם גויים באמצע מייס המרגלים, כי גם זה הוא פרט במייס הזה, ובגללכם כוי על דר המרגלים שעליו מדובר בקרוס. According to these various commentators, this is exactly why Moshe inserts his comment on himself in the middle of the story of the spies, because his point is exactly that. Because of you collectively, not you who are alive today, you collectively, the Jewish nation, over the course of this period of time, you bought into the story of the spies, therefore I'm bar from the land of Israel, and that's why it belongs in the story. So that's a great explanation. It's a wonderful explanation. It just doesn't work for Rashi. Ulam shitas Rashi yesh leforish ken. You cannot explain that this is Rashi's approach for a variety of reasons. We'll focus on two reasons particularly. Besides the fact that the order of the verses is not 100% resolved by this, in other words, why is his being banned from the land put next to Kalev, who is allowed into the land? We haven't answered that question. But besides that, the two key issues that we have to look at. Hine, number one. Meforesh bepirish Rashi, shal Moshe nigzar shlo yikonis l'eretz Yisrael ach v'rak mipnei mei meriva. This explanation is a beautiful explanation, but it cannot work for Rashi because Rashi has already commented previously that there is only one reason Moshe could not go into the land. Only one reason. And that's hitting the rock. Okay, l'shoinoi, as we see on two occasions in his own words, shaloi hoisa bahem elazoi bilvad. On the one occasion he says this is the only sin they, Aaron and Moshe, had, and on a different occasion he says hey me miriva levadom ein bahem avoin acher, that only the waters of Meriva, which is where the Jewish people complained about the water, and therefore he hit the rock when Hashem had told him to speak to the rock. That's the only occasion. So Rashi cannot go with the thinking that it's a combination of two events that cause him not to be in the land of Israel. It's not Rashi's view. Rashi says one cause and one cause only, hitting the rock. Number two. Al pi zeichom gam bi sanaf Hashem nismalei roiges vareloi shtatem boi shebechetem raglim v'rak shebiglalchem lo nichnas loretz kenal. Even if you do want to go with this opinion, which says it's because of you, because you people failed in your faith at the time of the spies, that's why I am being excluded from the land. How do you reconcile that with the fact that Moshe says Hashem was angry at me? He should have just said Hashem was angry at you. And because he was angry at you, I could not go into the land. He doesn't say that. He says Hashem was angry at me because of you. That implies that it's something that Moshe himself had done. And so we are not satisfied to apply the explanations of the Barbanel and the Or HaChaim to Rashi's angle and perspective. So why does Rashi feel that this is so self-explanatory that he doesn't have to say one word of commentary? Lecha oira haya efshel ataretz, we'll try another angle. Possibly the reason why the Torah associates two completely different stories, the story of the spies and the story of hitting the rock, in spite of the fact that they're different in theme and they happen at different times in history. Maybe what the Torah wants to illustrate to us is just how serious it was for Moshe to hit the rock. Sometimes Torah does that, as we're going to see in a second. Sometimes the Torah does exactly that. It puts two things next to each other to juxtapose them to help us understand the magnitude of the one, because we already know the magnitude of the other, and the Rebbe will give a couple of examples. Remember, one of the things that we said is that sometimes Rashi doesn't have to explain something because he's already given us the tools previously. So here's an example of something he explained previously, and by the way, not too long ago, which was, right in Parshas Chukas, he asks the question, why does the Torah record the story of Miriam's passing at the same time that it tells us the laws of the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, which is used to cleanse a person from Tumas Meis, the impurity of a dead body? Because Sha'are Parshas Parah Aduma Nemre B'Shona Shnia L'Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim U'Misas Miriam L'Sof Mem Shona. The story of the Parah Aduma was introduced in the second year the Jews were in the desert, and Miriam passes away in the 40th year. So why wait until you tell me the story of the 40th year to recall the details of the Parah Aduma? That's how Rashi asks the question. Lama nismecha? Why are they together? They don't belong together. And he explains, so he says that comes to teach us because there's an equation between the two. Just as a person can bring an offering of korban, a sacrifice, in order to atone for a sin, likewise the passing of a tzaddik atones for sin. So you see, two things are correlated, they're juxtaposed, they're put next to each other. For what reason? So that the Torah will, so to speak, highlight the nature of the one based on what we already know about the nature of the other. We already know that korbanos can atone. Now we will learn that the passing of a tzaddik can also atone. Similarly, even though we haven't learned this yet and it's in an upcoming parasha, but still, it just illustrates that the concept works. We're going to learn later on. We're going to learn later on that Moshe will recount the story of the passing of his brother Aaron in the similar context of where he talks about the breaking of the second set of Luchos of tablets. Why? Same concept. What do we know about the breaking of the Luchos? It was a terrible thing. It's a difficult time, so to speak, for Hashem. From here, we can learn that if the Torah juxtaposes the passing of Aaron to the breaking of the Luchos, it's to teach us that the passing of a tzaddik is as difficult, as harsh, as the episode of breaking the Luchos. So let's extend the same principle over here. Let's say the same thing here. Why does the Torah tell us the story of Moshe hitting the rock right next to the story of the spies to illustrate that hitting the rock was as serious as the story of the spies? Maybe that's the explanation. Well, the Rebbe says there's two reasons why that is not satisfactory. This is a difficult explanation to rely on for two reasons. Ki aleph, number one. It's actually not surprising that a person should know that to hit the rock was a serious sin, as serious as the story of the spies. In other words, it's obvious and I don't need the Torah to teach it to me because it was a moment of desecrating Hashem's name in a public forum. Hashem says it clearly. You didn't listen and you didn't believe my instruction, which would have sanctified my name in front of the whole community. Therefore, that implies that not having done it desecrated Hashem's name. And we know that desecration of Hashem's name is one of the worst things that can ever happen, one of the worst things a person can ever do. We also know that it's very serious because this is the reason given in the Torah why Moshe could not take the Jewish people into the land. So I don't need the Torah here to tell me that the story of hitting the rock is akin to the story of the spies. I know it logically just from the context. Number two. If it is in fact the case that the Torah wants to highlight how serious Moshe's misstep is over here, that it's considered like the spies, well then it should have mentioned in the Torah the actual sin. Moshe should have said, I hit the rock, therefore I was not allowed into the land. He doesn't say that. He says, Hashem was angry at me. That's the result of hitting the rock. That's not the action. If the Torah wants to highlight that the action is as bad as the behavior of the spies, then it should have spoken about the action. So we're back to square one. We don't understand why it is that Rashi hasn't commented on this seemingly glaring problem in the verses, and how he thinks that it's just obvious to us that we could make head or tail of it. V'habir bazeh, so therefore the Rebbe explains. The context over here is that this is where Moshe recalls for the Jewish people this serious sin which resulted in that none of these people would see the land. But he then concludes, Zulasi Kaleb ben Yefune, Goyme Yoshua bin Nun, She'enem Kishar Hador Eleheim Yiru Esa'aretz. Once Moshe has told us that everybody else was going to be barred from the land, he then says, except for two people, Kalev and Yehoshua. Now, at this point in time, you hear, oh, there are two exceptions. Kalev and Yehoshua, you naturally expect that they're both in the same boat. But the Torah deliberately splits Kalev and Yehoshua by putting in this Gambi Isanaf Hashem, that Hashem was angry at me. Even besides the fact that there's the insertion of another pasuk in between, if you're talking about two people who are the exception to the rule and they're both going to go into the land, surely they both belong in the same sentence. Except for, this is how it should have read, except for Kalev and Yehoshua, they will see the land. But that's not what it says. It says, except for Kalev, he would see the land. Fresh sentence, different pasuk, and except for Yehoshua, he would come there and he would give it to the Jewish people as their inheritance. Vatam al zeh, why does the Torah split them into two different pasukim? Avsheshneim bo laaretz, hinem bevoyam lo yehoi matzavam doimel zeh lo zeh, because the Torah wants us to know that although both Kalev and Yehoshua got to cross the Jordan and enter the Holy Land, their roles and their experiences were going to be markedly different. Kalev's experience would be that he'd see the land and he'd get a piece of land to be his. Yehoshua would have a completely different experience. He would enter the land and then he would take a leadership role. And a big part of that leadership role would be to allocate the land to the various tribes. So Kalev enters the land pretty much as an ordinary citizen, whereas Yehoshua enters the land as the leader of the people at the time. That's a significant difference, and therefore, although they are both an exception to the rule of those who won't enter the land, their experiences are different, and therefore they are related separately in the Torah. Now we can start to understand why it's not that Moshe wanted to interject in the middle of the story of the spies to tell his own story, but rather he wanted to introduce how the Torah is framing Yehoshua, which is different from the way it just framed Kalev. And we want to know why that difference. So Moshe says, I'll give you the backstory. Why Yehoshua is described differently, it's got to do with me. So almost parenthetically, Moshe answers the question, why is it that Kalev and Yehoshua, who both did the same thing in the story of the spies, they both stood up to the spies, they both insisted that you should trust in Moshe and obviously in Hashem, why then are they both dealt with differently? After Maaseh Shneim Shoveh, their behavior was equal behavior. And they both ripped their garments when they heard the bad response of the Jewish people. They both stood up to try and protest it. In fact, at that time, when Hashem says that the Jews will be punished and not allowed into the land of Israel, and they would die out in the desert, he says in one sentence, except for Kalev and Yehoshua, because they are both excluded from that decree equally, because they had both behaved appropriately equally. So why here are they suddenly separated into two different psukim, with two different descriptions? V'hatirutz, the answer to that is that Dibi Yosho Nitoisef Asher Gam Yam Chilenos Yisrael Mipnei Ki Lachar Kimat Aboim Shon Nitoisef Boi Gam Ki Yisanef Bi Yisanef Hashem Goyim Gam Ato Lo Yisrael Yisrael V'lochein Yosho Binun Goyim Elo Yerok Irak Yovo Yisrael Elo Oysa Yichaze Ki Hu Nyan Chileno Es Yisrael. So Moshe has to say, because something happened between that part of the story when Hashem said Kalev and Yosho will be the two exceptions who will be allowed into the land, and what happened practically when it was time to go into the land. What changed? Gambi Sanaf Hashem. In the interim, Hashem became angry at me, and as a result of that, Hashem refused me entry into Israel. Therefore, Yehoshua has a new role, which distinguishes him from Kalev. If we were only talking about what the result of the spy debacle was, Yehoshua and Kalev would be equals. But seeing as we're now talking about what's coming next, the entry into the land, Yehoshua is no longer an equal. Why not? He has to rise to a position of leadership, because I am not, Moshe says, able to take the Jews in. Rashi doesn't have to explain this, and he doesn't even have to explain that this is a parenthetical comment. In other words, alert us to the fact, oh, look at this, the Torah is using parentheses. Wow, didn't know we did that. Because we know multiple times in the Torah that in mid-sentence, the Torah will insert a parenthetical quote. Uledugma le'il, for example, right at the beginning of this parasha, Moshe says, Va'atzaveh sheftechem goymer. He says, I will instruct your judges. And then he says, Va'tikrivun olai yushmaitiv shumaymer amuskor. And then parenthetically he says, and by the way, if you have any difficulties, you'll bring them to me. So we see that the style of Torah accommodates the possibility of a parenthetical statement. Another example, in many, Urei Parshas Beshalach, Parshas Hamon, if you go all the way back to Parshas Beshalach, when they're told about the manna that they would eat, it says, of Yisrael Ochlo Es Hamon, Aboim Shona Goymer, She'enun Agel, Emshach HaParsha Shom Be'oid. There it talks about the mon, and it talks about how they would eat it, and what quantity it was, and the fact that they had to create make a little jug and keep it in the Holy of Holies, which would have the mon inside. And then parenthetically, in the middle, it says, and they ate the mon for 40 years. In other words, Rashi does not have to emphasize the fact that here the Torah is inserting a parenthetical comment in the middle of a larger paragraph, because that is common. It's usual, it's acceptable in Torah language. In fact, over here where he says Hashem was angry with me because of you, he doesn't have to tell us who the you is. The you is obvious, it's the people he's talking to. Not like the other commentaries who wanted to say the you are those who had already died out in the period of the 40 years in the desert, because they are the people who sinned with the spies. No, pshat, simple explanation, it's you who I'm talking to right now, the people who are about to go into Israel. Why is it because of them? Rashi doesn't have to tell us. Because Rashi's already told us earlier that the reason Moshe was barred from the land of Israel was because the people had complained about water, which led him to then ask Hashem to give them water, which led him then to go to the rock. And as Rashi tells us, it was the wrong rock and he hit it and so on. But it actually all began because you complained about the water. Where was your faith after 40 years of being irrigated, of being provided with water in the desert? Now suddenly you have no faith. It's biglalchem this whole debacle happened. In the previous sentence, you were talking about the generation who believed the spies and rejected the opportunity to go into Israel. Now suddenly you tell me Biglalchem is talking about the audience who's in front of it. How do you switch in the middle? Well, that's not a big deal, because we've already said this is a parenthetical comment. So a parenthetical comment does not have to suit the context of the preceding or the following verses. So the preceding and the following verses, he was talking about a generation that had already passed away. In this verse, he's talking back to the people. Say, oh, by the way, parenthetically, you should know, just like they were not allowed into the land, I'm also not allowed into the land. And why? Because of you. Because you people complain about the water. Omnam adayin kosho, but there's still a question. If the purpose of this parenthetical statement is only to contextualize why Yehoshua is described differently here to Kalev, i.e. he is described as the next leader who will take them and allocate the land to them, so Moshe has to explain parenthetically that happened because I cannot take you in. So lomele lohosif shei sanaf Hashem biglalchem. Lamai nafga mina kan im yeh biglalchem oylav, im lav. So now we have a question. Why is it relevant? Yes, we understand biglalchem means that Moshe is saying it's because of you. But why is that relevant to this conversation? Surely the only thing that's relevant to this conversation is for Moshe to say, I'm not going into the land. Therefore, Yehoshua is. So Abir Bozer, the explanation of that is, Kfar Pirish Rashi Lil Parashas Pinchas. Rashi already explained earlier in Parashas Pinchas, Bechol Mokim Shekosav Misosav Kosav Sirchoinom. Moshe asked Hashem, please, every time that there's a record in the Torah of the fact that I'm punished and Aaron is punished not to go into the land, please mention why we're punished. So nobody associates it and thinks it's because of other sins that we were party to, which we were not. Let's be clear. We don't go in because of one incident, and that's the incident of the hitting the rock. As Rashi himself says, that Moshe asked Hashem, please ensure that it goes down in history that we were not those who rebelled against Hashem. So therefore, this is one of those occasions. Here we're talking about Moshe dying and not being allowed into the land. Therefore, immediately the Torah has to give context. Why is Moshe not going into the land? That was Moshe's request, and Hashem had agreed to fulfill that request, that every time it would talk about Moshe being barred from the land, it would say why. So here's one of those times. So lahazkir b'derech agav sirchoy neshen boy kim biglalchem achet mei miriv asherov b'nei Yisrael asavaya miriv asoeda. So therefore, says, why am I not going in because of the incident of the stone? But parenthetically, he says the incident of hitting the rock actually was because the people were complaining, so there was tension and there was urgency, and that kind of prompted Moshe to react perhaps in a way that he shouldn't have. Val pizeh, with that in mind, shenem biglalchem rak b'derech agav uvutoich mayim ramuskar. Now that we understand that this is a parenthetical statement, and within the parenthetical statement, the fact that it's biglalchem, because of you, Moshe is saying, is actually parenthetical within the parenthetical, it actually helps us to understand something about Rashi. In the next week's parasha, Vayeschanan, we're going to see again that Moshe says to the Jewish people, Hashem was angry with me because of you. Or Pirish Rashi, there Rashi says, Lemanchem means Bishvilchem Atem Goramtem Li. You caused Hashem to be angry with me, and he quotes from Tehillim, Vachenu Oimer Vayakzifu Amem Riva Vayera Lemoshe Bavurom. There says it clearly. You angered Hashem at the Meim Riva, which was the waters they complained about, which led to hitting the rock, and Hashem took out his anger on me. But Chayre in a movement, something doesn't add up over here. Im Rashi tzorech laharich bepirish lemanchem atem geramtem li olahavi raim mashanem betinem vayktzifu goimer. If Rashi feels that he needs to explain what does it mean Hashem is angry at me because of you over there in Parshas Vayeschanan, and he needs to explain it with proof from Tehillim, why is Rashi explaining it only in next week's parasha? Surely he should have explained it in this week's parasha. Surely he should have tackled it right here, where we see Moshe saying, "Biglalchem, I'm punished because of you." And Rashi should say, "Biglalchem means because you complain," and therefore there was the story of hitting the rock. And look, Tehillim even says that. Why wait? It's most unusual for Rashi not to explain something now and to rely on something he's going to explain in the future. He usually does it the other way around. He doesn't explain something now because he's already explained it in the past. But so the answer is simple, because we've already identified that this entire statement is parenthetical. And within this parenthetical statement, the point that Moshe will die because of you is actually also parenthetical. So now it's not the time to get into the details of what exactly that means. All we need to know for our context here is that Moshe will not go into the land, and therefore Yehoshua gets this beautiful description of the new leader. Only when you get to next parasha, Vayeschanan, and he talks about it in detail, where the emphasis is on what happened, then Rashi will deal with the details. Here, Rashi is quite satisfied that we can identify for ourselves that this is parenthetical. We can appreciate why it's here to help contextualize Yehoshua as the next leader. What could we possibly learn from this? The Rebbe does not give us a clear lesson in the Sikha itself. Possibly one thing that we could take from it is, as we see with the story of the golden calf, Hashem says to Moshe, Lech reid, go down from your greatness. Why? Because the people had sinned. He doesn't just say, go down off the mountain, but reid migdulosra, go down from your greatness. And from this we learn that there's this intertwined relationship between us and Hashem. Between us and Moshe. There's nothing that happens to Moshe in isolation. If something happens to Moshe and something negative happens to Moshe, it is a direct result of the fact that the Jewish people are not the way that they should be. And the corollary is obvious, that if we do as we should, that gives power to Moshe, and that strengthens the Moshe of the generation. Something I suppose to think about.